Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. You know, I think about father's stories, and it's really interesting. I'm looking at Walt out there, and I'm reminded of the story that when a guy came to date Janine, he was up on the porch either loading a gun or sharpening his knife. Or shooting it in the air. Yeah, I mean, just that's my baby. You better be careful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is God good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's Father's Day. Amen. You know, everybody. I'm going to say it this way. I might get in trouble, but it's okay. Everybody had a sperm donor, but not everybody had a father. Right. Right. And there's a big, huge difference. And I was just reading this week. It turned to Genesis chapter 27. But I was just reading this week an article in the paper. And it talked about, and this is like, well, duh. That one of the main problems in the United States and with our culture and with what's going on is the lack of fathers. Is the absence of fathers. No father figures. I mean, I remember the time, because I grew up in it and through it, where fathers were kind of put to the side. We don't need that parental authority over us anymore. We don't need that, but we lost so much when that happened. Even back in the early days of the civil rights movement, and our answer to it was, well, let's give them something to make up for what we've stolen from them, and the whole welfare system came into view, and which I can appreciate and understand. However, what happened was, is they said, listen, for all of those single mothers that don't have a father, we're going to give you so much money per baby that you had, right? And so what that did is it said, listen, we can get money if we kick dad out. And even in the African-American community, they'll tell you that the family was strong before the civil rights movement. But after, dad was gone. And then again in the 60s, we had the feminist movement with some good reasons for it, right? Because men were jerks and they didn't treat ladies right and all of that. But the reality is that we went so far over there that we said, men, we got this. I got news for you, ladies. You don't got this. Because God created us male and female for a reason. He created man for a reason. He called us dad, or even a better term is he called us father for a reason. Because we're supposed to represent him. We're supposed to represent him. It's Father's Day, and it's awesome because I had a great earthly father. I'll just admit I was really blessed with one. And I love somebody's post this morning. He said, I love passionate fathers. They're not perfect, but they're passionate. Right? And I can ascribe to that. Right? I believe the father is the most honorable title that I hold. I was golfing with my son one day, and I said to him, listen, my greatest accomplishment in life is you and your sister. Everything else pales in comparison to that. And I've seen God do some miraculous things, but it's that position of being father that makes all the difference in the world to me. And so I want to honor the fathers and their efforts, even though it wasn't perfect. But I also want to remind you of your role, of the importance of your role. And not only the role that you have positionally, but I want to absolutely edify you and build you up and encourage you that your words have power over your kids. Your words have power over your kids. And it's really interesting, as I've noticed and grown and seen some things happen, the influence and the difference that the influence of a father has over his son or over his daughter. It's different, but it's both vital. Right? It's both vital. God wants you to know this morning that He's over you and that He loves you and that He protects you and that He wants you. But oftentimes, people have had a skewed view of who Father God is because their earthly father was so perverted or perverse or absent. Right? But today I'm going to speak some things over you that is going to do something in your heart if you'll let it. Because God wants to redeem all of the fatherless people. Hallelujah. He said, I'll be a father to you. He said, I'll be a father to you. I'll be a father to you. Glory to God. In Genesis chapter 27, it's an interesting story. And a story that I've thought about a lot. And it's Esau and Jacob. And it's really interesting because when they were born, they were twins. And Esau came out first, but his mother was told, now wait a minute, the last one's going to be in charge, right? And the father didn't get the picture. But the wife made sure that what she heard got through. I'm not saying she did it ethically. I'm not saying that she did it exactly honestly. But God's will got taken care of, right? And so what happened was that Esau really wasn't that honorable. And the Bible says that he gave up his birthright for a pot of porridge. And so then it comes for the father's blessing. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the father's blessing. Because there's words pronounced over the son that had great significance to the son's future. It had great significance over his destiny, his purpose. Great significance. It was a position that only the father could put the son in. But once the son was in that position and the blessing was pronounced, it was a settled deal. We're going to see that in the story. Chapter 27, look at verse 18. So this is Jacob pretending to be Esau. Now, so he went into his father and said, my father, he said to me, here I am. Who are you? And who are you, my son? And Jacob said to him, father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Liar. And I've done just as you told me. Arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may be blessed me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord had brought it to me. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him. And he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands were so he blessed him. Now, first of all, at this time, the father was going blind, so he couldn't see very well, but he could still feel. Now, look at this. So he blessed him, verse 24. And then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my own son's game, and my soul will bless you. So he brought him near to him, and he ate, and he brought him his wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him. And he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field in which the Lord is blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your own brethren and let your mother's son come bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. So this is his blessing. And watch this. Esau came back later and said, Dad, what have you done? Jacob has fooled you. Take the blessing back and give it to me. And he said, what I've done, I've done. The blessing is done. You see, what you speak over your children is done. Your words over your children put into them their destiny and their purpose. So we must be careful of what we're speaking over our sons and our daughters. Some of us grew up with fathers. I did, but some grew up with fathers that were absent. Some grew up with fathers that were there, but they were very mean and abusive. Some grew up with fathers speaking curses instead of blessing over them. You'll never amount to anything. You never do anything, right? Who are you? Come on. And begin to speak some things into them that have absolutely shaped their lives for years. But I don't care how old you are this morning or how young you are this morning. You have a Father in heaven that wants to speak blessing over you. And he wants to shape your future with something different than what you've had in the past. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many know that we serve a God who is still on the throne and prayer still changes things? Have you ever seen a miracle happen? Have you ever experienced a miracle? Well, is God out of miracles? Has he done all that he's going to do and that's the end of it? And after all, it's 2022 and his hands are tied. Well, he might have done a miracle for me when I was 20, but now that I'm 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or whatever, my day of miracles is over. And the reality of that is not true. Because the same Father that birthed you in the Spirit is still the same Father that will bless you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But watch this. Jacob received the blessing. We must receive the blessing that our Father God speaks over us rather than the voices in our head that have spoken curses over us. Glory to God. We are in Christ and that changes everything. It's not based on my ability any longer. It's based on his ability. You know, scriptures that ring out to you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? That means if I'm in Christ, I have a different power source. I'm not limited to be on the grid of human interaction because I now have divine interaction and my power source is in heaven. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis 48. And for sake of time, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase what went on here. This is when Israel came and he spoke over Joseph and his sons, but he also spoke something different over each one of his sons. So he had 12 sons and he spoke something different over each one of them and he blessed them. And he blessed them all individually. What does that mean? And what significance does that have today? That every one of our children are different. And it's up to fathers to look into their children and see what God's purpose is for them and begin to speak it over them and quit comparing one with another. Right? And that stands true of our own biological children, but it also speaks true of God's children. We got to quit speaking over one another the things or expectations that we have over them that may not be lined up with their destiny. Glory to God. What am I saying? I'm saying that God has a purpose for Zach. God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for Myrna. God has a purpose for each one of us, and it might look different. Amen. But just because Zach and I don't act the same way all the time doesn't mean that I'm more of a son or less than a son than he is. And I need to speak over him the blessing of God rather than cursing him with my expectations. Come on. Why? Because I want Zach to be the best Zach that Zach can be. Right? Hallelujah. I want you to be the best that you can be. And the best that you can be is defined by what your Father has spoken to you. Yeah, but he hasn't talked to me. Just pick the book up. Just pick the book up, because he has said some things over you. And what he said over you 2,000 years ago still apply to you today. Amen. I was going to go to a few more scriptures, but I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to skip some of these and go to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. The biggest and the best and the most incredibly responsible title that I own is Father. Is Father. Why? Again, because I am an example to my children and to many others what a father should look like. And if I can show them the kind of love and care and not only that, but discipline that a true father gives, then they can say, listen, I know what God is like. I know what God is like because I've seen my Father. Now, I'm not up here telling you that I'm as good as God, because actually in Christ I am. But that's a whole different subject. Because my righteousness is not mine, it's His. But here's what I'm telling you, that as a father, as an earthly father, as a Christian earthly father, I have a resource to be a better father than I've ever been. And that my fatherhood didn't stop when my children were grown. It lives on. And your destiny, or your legacy is your children. And if you don't have children, that's okay. Your legacy is those that you affect or you come into contact with. Now, you've all read these verses before, but look at verse 15 in Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, when you got born again, when your spirit changed, you didn't receive that same bondage that fear or corruption or words that were produced out of the mouths of men. You didn't receive that same bondage. You're not who you were anymore. You're something different because of what God did in you. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I love that. You know, it actually, in the Greek, as far as I can render it and see it, and have seen the different translations, it means he's daddy, daddy. He's papa. He's that father that is close to you, that father that you know that you can be secure, that if everybody in the world rejects you, you can run back to daddy. Right? That if... Come on.
Yes.
My daughter is not as young as she used to be. You know, she's a mother, has two kids that are wonderful and growing. And you know, I can't believe how big Liam is. Yesterday he was that size right there. You know, I've seen videos. But she still says, Dad, I need a daddy-daughter date. Where did she learn that? I took her on daddy-daughter dates when she was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Daddy, I need a daddy-daughter date. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts unto you? Woo, glory to God. We haven't received a spirit of bondage to go back into fear, but we received this spirit of adoption so we can yell out, Daddy! Daddy! And He's there. And He's for us, and He's not against us. He's with us. I've told this story many times, but it's so germane to this. So you're going to hear it again. Sometimes, as Terry says, I can tell your stories better than you can because I've heard them so many times. That's okay. But watch this. There was a young boy, and he'd been adopted into a family. And you know how kids can be and how mean they can be to each other. Well, one of the biological children turned to him and said, well, you don't even really belong. You're just adopted. And the boy was unfazed. He turned to his brother and he said, listen, Mom and Dad had you. They wanted me. Woo! Come on. He wanted us. And that's why He sent Jesus to die, so that we could be in His presence and His bloodline could come to us. He wanted me. He's my Father. He's my Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. This morning I want you to get into your spirit. I don't care if you're 5 or 95. That same need for a Father's love is in you, but it can still be satiated by knowing that He loves you. That He wants you. That He's for you. And He will not curse you. I said, He will not curse you. The enemy says, yes, you know, you can get saved by grace and God loves you. But once you get saved, if you don't do this, this, and this, and this, then God's going to be mad at you. That's not the God that I know or serve. Do you know that my earthly children could do nothing, absolutely nothing, to get my love out of my heart for them? They couldn't. Well, what if they got into prison? I'd go visit them. What if they rejected Jesus? I'd keep loving them. And if I'm being evil, come on. Our Heavenly Father hasn't rejected us. He's not, because He adopted us into Himself. Hallelujah. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is really what I want to put into you today. If you felt rejected, if you felt less than, if you felt like God has abandoned you, I've got good news for you. I've got great news for you. He wants to speak blessing over you this morning. He wants to speak that you've been accepted. He wants you to know that you've been redeemed. He wants you to know that you have a dad that will be with you. He wants you to know that you know that you know that His love is for you. Hallelujah. Why is this crucial? And we're going to get the scripture in just a minute. Quit kicking that baby. Listen. It's so important that we get a hold of this, men. Because you may not be a biological person to somebody, but you can a father to somebody, but you can absolutely be a spiritual father to many. Right? you've got influence over many. Maybe even as I'm looking around the room, I see men who didn't, they raised other people's children. They have a spiritual influence over those children. And we've got to come to the place where we understand how blessed we are so that we can turn around and bless others with the same blessing. Come on. Hallelujah. How many in this room have failed? How many have fallen down? How many have missed it? How many have regrets? I wish I'd have bought Microsoft I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that, or I wish I could have done. How many could go back and change any of that? None of us. So what do? We don't be defined by our mistakes, but we begin to be defined by our redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I mean, that's something. To bless means to give freely. To bless means to pronounce over. Come on, to bless means to proclaim something about. You and I, if we're in Christ, He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. He's speaking to you today that you're not less than, but that you're included in Him. Right? My relationship with Him is not based on what I do. Although we should do good things for God, don't misunderstand me. But the reality is, it's the enemy that wants to keep you under the spirit of condemnation so that your life will reflect condemnation so that nobody will want to be like you. But when we figure out that we have a spirit of adoption and that the Father God, we're blessing His name, praising His name for the work that He accomplished in me. That He wants to speak over to you so that you can represent that blessing, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You begin to read the Word of God and you begin to see in the New Testament wherever it says in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, of whom, by whom. It's amazing everything that He's done for us. Let's read just a few. Just as He chose us, verse 4, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I don't feel this way all the time. I don't know about you, right? But when I am not thinking right, or maybe I do something wrong, or I make a mistake, I don't feel holy. And I definitely don't feel without blame. But He's blessed me with spiritual blessing in heavenly places so that as far as He's concerned, I'm without blame before Him in love. Amen. What is that love? It's His love. For God so loved the world that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not holy because I've done everything right. I'm holy because I'm in Him. Yes. Glory to God. And I don't wear my own holiness. I wear His holiness. Yes. Look at this. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let that speak to you. God wanted you and it pleased Him to get you. Woo-hoo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. I don't know if you've ever received anything in your life that just pleased you. It might have been a Christmas gift. It might have been, come on. Let me tell you of one of the greatest gifts I got and the blessing that it was to me and what pleasure I received it in. My son was born and he was handed to me. As I'm telling you the story, I'm in the hospital room because I'm seeing it. And his little head was here and his feet were down there dangling over. And I looked down into his little face and I said, God, you love me this much? Because I'd never experienced anything like that before. I grew up with third oldest of 12. I'd held a lot of babies right in my life. I'd been around, and I love babies to this day. My sister calls me the baby whisperer. But anyway, that's a whole different story. But I was holding my son in my arms and his head. I said, you love me this much. The point is that I was blessed so much by something that I didn't deserve, really didn't earn, right? But God gave me this human being who was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And the pleasure of receiving that was amazing. And even to this day, when I can do something for one of my children, it gives me great pleasure. Let me read that just to you again. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ, Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted. Your answer for your rejection is his acceptance. Your answer for everybody who's told you that you weren't good enough or that you couldn't do something or that you didn't belong or that you weren't as good as is knowing that he's accepted you. God, your Father, is speaking blessing over you, and one of those blessings is you're accepted. And not just accepted, well, you can come into heaven, but get in the back row. You're accepted into the inner circle. I'm one of the beloved. Right? I'm one of the beloved. 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 God, you love me this much. Beloved. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Now you've heard the word redemption, and that means redeemed back and all, and that's true. But redemption means that something that was lost has been purchased so that you can claim ownership of it again. This redemption was about you, and you are the absolute product of the redemption, but the redemption was actually for him. Because when Adam sinned and he fell and he rejected the authority of God in his life and in the earth, watch this, what happened? We were lost to him. But he said, I've got a plan. I've had a plan. And that plan is I'm going to send my son in the form of man, and he's going to take on the sin of the whole world. And as he takes that on, and if people believe in that, they will become redeemed. That's the purchase price that's paid through his blood so that I can be redeemed back to my people. Come on this morning. God wants you to know that you're redeemed. The price has been paid. Your pawn ticket has been redeemed. What does that mean? That means this, that everything that God had intended for man is now yours because of that ticket. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you were, if you had a chainsaw that you took down to the pawn shop and you, you know, got some money for it because you needed to pay a bill, but you got some money back and you got the extra money that you had to pay to redeem that, but you went down there with that redemption ticket and the money and you said, here you go, here's the money, give me my saw. You know what they have to do? Give you the saw. Because the price had been paid.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've been redeemed back to Him. You've been redeemed back to Him. You're in the family. Hallelujah. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Grace, 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 grace. One of the hardest people to forgive is you. How do I know that? Because you're ashamed of yourself. You feel like you're less than, but the reality is that His forgiveness has made you on equal footing with Him. God says you're forgiven. Oh, but you don't understand what I did. Forgiven. But you don't understand. I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I should have, you know, prayed more. I should have tithed more. I should have done this more. Forgiven. See, God wants to speak over you that you're redeemed. God wants to speak over you that you're forgiven. God wants to speak over you that He loves you. Are you going to let Him this morning? Are you going to let Him this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. How many think that you're too far gone for a miracle? You only think that because you don't know Him. His miracles are not based on you. They're based on Him. And He's already pronounced over you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Somebody said this, well, yeah, I know that when I get to heaven, I'll be blessed. And I'll receive every blessing that He has for me. Well, He said that He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So why not receive them right here and right now? Glory to God. All right, I'm going to close in a minute. Maybe. Verse 8 says, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather in together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. All that means He's already blessed you. He wants to bless you. It's His desire to bless you. And you have an inheritance. Cool story. My brother calls me the other day. And this brother has struggled a lot in his life financially. And so his wife, my sister-in-law, had this friend, aunt, who was pretty well off. And they got a call that she'd left them $1 million. That's a pretty good inheritance, isn't it? That might change your day a little bit, right? Close to $1 million inheritance. That's chump change. That's chump change to the one who has gold on his streets. Are you with me? He's given you an inheritance that is built on who He is. Glory to God. All right, I'll close and listen to this. So the Father wants to speak blessings over you. Just close your eyes for just a minute. If you'll receive this, it will change your day. It will change your outlook. It'll change your future. Right now, the Father is speaking over you that you are redeemed. He's speaking over you that you are loved and you are accepted. He's speaking over you that He wants to provide everything that you have need of. Spiritually, emotionally, financially, physically. He wants you to receive it this morning. Put your trust back in Him this morning. Let your resentment and your bitterness and your wondering why just go this morning and receive His blessing. He's redeemed you. He's forgiven you. He's justified you. So in the court of heaven, as far as He's concerned, you are just and you are right. He sanctified you, which means that He separated you, and He's speaking that over you. He separated you for Himself. He's fashioned you after His own self. He's given you power. He's given you authority. He's equipped you to handle anything that's before you. He's healed your mind. He's healed your emotions. He's healed your body. He's healed you in every way through His Son. So get your eyes off of your circumstances. Put them back on Him. And let Him bless you with His word today. Because you've been adopted. You've been accepted. You're loved. He said, the chastisement of my peace has been come upon you. In other words, I paid the price so that God is no longer mad at you. That gulf has been taken away. So in your minds, I just want you to just see yourself in His throne room right now. There's no shame there. There's no blame there. There's only love there. So receive His love right now. For you right now. He said, ask me anything. Ask me anything. Ask me anything. And I'll do it. So go to your papa, daddy right now. Just say, Father in heaven, I need your love. I need your healing. I need your touch. Thank you, Lord, for showing me who I am and blessing me with your word. Whether you're watching online or you're here in the room right now, God wants to touch you and to make you whole. I feel His anointing. I sense His presence. He's doing a work even right now. So receive this blessing. The Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord makes His face to shine upon you. As you look to Him, everything that you touch will prosper. You will fulfill the destiny that He has for your life. And the days of your defeat are done in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for all those that are watching online. As we sign off now, Lord, I ask You to bless them. If you don't know Jesus, just reach out to Him. He'll touch you. He accepts you the way you are. But give Him your whole life, your whole heart, and He's going to do something great in you today in Jesus' name. Repent of your sins. Get rid of all that stuff and just come to Him and let Him work on you. He will. He's done it for me. He'll do it for you. In Jesus' name. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.